Welcome on the show, Rodrigo.
Thank you.
Now, let's start with, what has been the latest development in this ongoing crisis in Venezuela?
Well, the latest development appears to be that former police captain, I think was his rank, has managed to obtain access to a helicopter and decided to attack the Supreme Court by firing live rounds at the Supreme Court and tried to fire grenades at the Supreme Court. Now, the grenades did not explode, but I think that this attack basically is once again sort of highlights the hard right or the radical element within the opposition, which is also very problematic and I don't think receives enough media attention, because that is their position is also a part of one of the many problems in Venezuela in terms of actually moving forward to try and resolve this crisis.
Okay,
either and, on an economic front or a political front.
And let's talk a bit about that economic and political front. Can you just explain to the listeners exactly what is the root of this Venezuelan crisis? Now, we understand it was around constitutional changes. Many people won't have heard a great deal about this. Can you just give people the understanding of where this is all coming from?
Well, on the political front, what has taken place is that the opposition actually won Congress in late 2015. Now, the opposition in Venezuela have repeatedly lost throughout. There have been something like 19 elections held in the country, and out of those 19, they've actually lost 17. They've only won one referendum, and they've won one election for the Congress. Now, the fact that they did win the elections, and the elections were ratified, and they did manage to get control of the Congress, created a very tense situation, because the presidency, the executive, is still controlled by the Chavistas. So basically what resulted then was a gridlock between Congress and the president. Congress decided to try and push through an agenda which was pretty much, you know, radically in contrast to everything that the president stood for and his agenda and his President Chavez, who was in charge of the country before Maduro. So basically, since they both had such a radically different visions, the country came to a halt politically. Now, in terms of trying to resolve that, what has happened historically in Venezuela is that the president will basically try and start, you know, ruling by presidential decrees, or, you know, start looking for other ways. And after being in office, or the Chavistas being in office for so long, they certainly have accumulated a certain amount of power, and that has always upset the opposition. So more radical sort of, you know, hardcore right-wing sections of the opposition have gone back to an old strategy which they carried out in 2002, which was try and basically overthrow the government, never accept the actual legitimacy of the government. So once they decided to go down that path, of course, everything has sort of exploded politically. The president is still in charge, but Congress, or key sections of the Congress, would like to see the president removed. They're calling for a military coup d'etat. They're calling for street protests. Many of the street protests, I think it's fair to say that the majority of the street protests of the opposition are certainly peaceful, but there are core elements there that aren't peaceful, and they're doing things like attacking government buildings, they're burning schools, they're attacking hospitals, they're firing sort of homemade weapons at police officers. So again, this sort of complicates everything, and that's why we have a current political crisis.
Indeed, now, it does sound quite complicated. Now, but I also want to speak about the everyday citizens that would be affected by this inflation, which has risen by 800%. Now,
yes.
How is the economic and political climate affecting these everyday citizens?
Well, the problem is that, of course, when oil prices are high, historically, Venezuelan governments do well or do better, and the Chavez administration in the past certainly was able to spend a lot of that money on social programs, health, education, etc. In 2012-2013, when President Chavez's health is beginning to fail, oil prices also start to decline. What the government did is it basically sort of let go of its eye on the ball in terms of the economics of the country, in terms of, for example, the currency exchange, in terms of spending, and there that has created a problem there, because the government does need to readjust according to global oil prices, and I don't think that it has been able to do that as successfully as it should. There's also elements of corruption within the government that's certainly important to highlight. But there's also another side of the economic situation, which again goes back to the sort of more radical hard right sections of the opposition, where they look quite similar to what happened in Chile in the 1970s under the Allende government, where they basically begin to hoard products, they begin to smuggle products outside of the country and to try and create sort of an economic crisis, economic shortages. So people then turn on the government. And this has also compounded the problem, what the government calls, the economic war. And I think that is certainly a part of the story which needs to be discussed. So to get back to your original question, your query, what's life for the average Venezuelan? Well, life for the average Venezuelan in the last few years has certainly become very hard. They're certainly experiencing food shortages, shortages with medicine, and this obviously is not pleasant. But having said that, the majority of people in the country haven't taken to violent street protests. The majority of people are either engaging in sort of peaceful protests or for or against the government.
Now, and just finally, and perhaps a little briefly as we come up to the news headlines, the media coverage of the protests, as you've spoken about, a lot of people feel as on the violence taking place in the protests and the revolt against the government rather than looking at the pro-government aspects, which I understand there are quite a few pro-government protesters within Venezuela at the moment. Can you just explain to us some of the misconceptions surrounding the crisis?
It's important to understand that the media have for a very long time been playing a sort of a partisan role. Often the large sort of international sort of corporate outlets have certainly never reported on the government's social programs, very important programs which have been recognized by institutions like the United Nations, for example. And the fact that the government has, for all of its errors and problems, the government has actually won 17 elections out of 19. Now, these elections have been ratified, modified by organizations like the United Nations, the Carter Institute, organized by the former U.S. President Jimmy Carter. And this is something that gives the government a lot of legitimacy within Venezuela, because that means that the government is able to rally vast sections of people in its support, and people who have benefited from its programs, people who have for the first time in their lives been able to attend university, have regular access to healthcare, and so these people certainly feel that the Chavistas, as they're known, they certainly feel very, very strong about the government, about what they call the Bolivarian Revolution, and as far as they're concerned, the Bolivarian Revolution political system should survive, and it should always be decided through the ballot box in terms of what's going to happen in the future, and what they're trying to do is to trigger a referendum to organize a new constitution that's going to take place later next month.
Indeed. And very quickly, do you think that a vote on the constitution is likely to see an end to a lot of the violence and political and economic unease within the country?
Well, unfortunately not, because I think that there is a very sort of hardcore right-wing element in Venezuela, which has never accepted the legitimacy of the government. They've never accepted the fact that they've lost at numerous elections to the government. So they're willing to participate in elections when they think that they're going to win or they have a chance to win. But when they don't, as was the case, for example, in 2005, the elections in 2005 for the National Assembly, they simply don't participate. And then they'll say, well, you know, we can't participate in elections because the climate is not appropriate, there's going to be rigging, et cetera, et cetera. When a lot of the evidence highlights that, you know, that the elections in Venezuela are basically one of the most heavily monitored elections internationally. And when, you know, major rigging, if it ever takes place on a massive scale, it's certainly going to be discussed and exposed. So this sort of hardcore right-wing element have always gone back to, well, we need to overthrow the government, we need to ask the military to carry out a coup d'etat. And you know, they do have their sort of their small hardcore supporters which try and engage in these activities. And
indeed, it does.
Resulted in a coup.
So it seems like troubling times may still be ahead in Venezuela. Thank you very much for joining me.
Not a problem. Thank you.